Welcome to the Jess Cagle Podcast with Julia Cunningham. Each week, Jess and Julia sit down with Hollywood's biggest names to discuss their current projects and take a trip down memory lane as they dive deep into their classic catalogs. SiriusXM presents the Jess Cagle Podcast with Julia Cunningham. Now, here are your hosts, Jess and Julia.
I don't even know where to begin. Actor, producer, Oscar nominee, star of stage and screen. I've seen everything that he's ever done. City Slickers, Donnie Darko, Brokeback Mountain, End of Watch, Nocturnal Animals. It goes on and on and on. Anyway, now he's the producer and star of The Guilty on Netflix, and he should get an Oscar nomination for it. Jake Gyllenhaal. Welcome to the show.
My God. Jess, you guys, there's a lot of J's in this interview. We got a lot of J's everywhere. Yeah. So congratulations for that. Thank you for that incredible introduction. You flatter me and I'll take it.
Thank you. Speaking of J's, so Jamie Lee Curtis, your godmother, was she was just here, and we were talking about how brilliant The Guilty was and you in it, but I also asked her, do you have any questions for Jake?
Oh, no.
And yeah, yeah. And here's her question. I'm not even kidding. She like got up, she went and got it. And she goes, okay, so Jake gave me a Garmin Forerunner 745 Fitbit kind of watch, right? And she said, it's not working.
What?
Am I missing a cord?
Yeah. Held it up. Just, do I need a cord?
Number one.
To answer for her, Jake, but I didn't want to step in for you.
Was the answer, plug it in?
Yeah. I think I
Charge
was going to say, yeah, you need a cord. Yeah, you need a cord. But I held back because I didn't want to get involved. But
okay, so like, is she saying I gave her like a bunk, like Garmin watch? Is that what she's saying? It had no plug to plug it in and charge it?
No, well, no, I don't think she was saying that you did anything wrong. I think the concern, I don't want to stir up any, I mean, she likes to stir the pot, Jamie Lee.
Yes, she does. Yes,
she does.
Okay.
She does.
I think she...
Anyway, she was there was something, she wasn't sure how to work it, maybe. I don't know.
You're going to have to FaceTime her after this.
This is the thing. She was so, okay, so she is just one of the most generous, loving, giving people, I mean, has been so good to me. And recently over this sort of pandemic, worldwide pandemic that the world has been going through, she housed me for a bit of time in Los Angeles in her guest house and was so incredible. We became even closer than we had been. And, you know, she's just incredible. And so I had asked her if she would host a screening for The Guilty, and she agreed, she obliged. And so we had been talking about her getting, you know, taking walks. And I myself, sometimes in exercise, have this watch. And I just thought, you know, maybe I'll get her one as a thank you for hosting the screening, which is what I did. And I thought we could both train for a 5K was the deal.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, frankly, I feel like that's not going to happen now. But I don't know what I did. What if I just like got her some broken watch? I couldn't have. Nine.
I think she worried that maybe she lost the cord. And I personally think that's probably.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to get her another cord. All right.
Anyway, she also said that when you were living with her, used to make her sourdough bread. She said he was one of those people. He learned how to make sourdough bread during the pandemic.
I did. I have always been a cook and I have always baked, but I have for some reasons shied away from sourdough just because it's something you have to care for, you know, over a long period of time. And I had the time. So I thought, you know what, forget this yeast stuff. Let's get into the old school shiz. And so I just jumped in as everyone else in the entire world did and became just as annoying as they are. So like I made her every day would make bread and I would walk it over to her window and she'd say, put it over there. She'll open the window and I'd give her bread. That was basically what I did.
Look, I don't want to also make this question also about Jamie Lee Curtis, but she also revealed to us, Jake.
You guys,
and then I swear we're done.
Oh my God.
But yes. Jake, she said that really how Halloween, which Halloween Kills out on Friday, how it all came back was because you called her and said, I have this friend, David Gordon Green. He just wants to get in touch with you. He has this really brilliant idea. And I just want to put you guys in touch if you're okay with it, which is really interesting that you are in kind of part of this revival of this super important franchise.
Yeah, I did do that. And I mean, you know, damn, I wish I was in it. But I you know, I, but yeah, I mean, like it that just happens, you know. I feel like when you know David is one of these like wonderful, kind, very loving people, and I just felt like the two of them would vibe. And when David asked me, and I wasn't in, not usually will I be like, sure, I'll bother someone close to me and make it uncomfortable, but I just knew they would get along, and it was easy. I mean, and they like adore each other. So I did like, it's like a mitzvah of some kind, I guess. Right. I get something from that, don't I? Like
you
good,
do.
Good yeah. juju. Yeah. Thanks. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Thank you.
I don't know
Jess.
Why you don't want
Jess
to talk
just chimed
about,
in.
Yeah. I don't know why you don't want to talk about the guilty.
No, we're sorry.
Just why you're here.
Why do that? Let's talk about Jamie. I'm fine with that.
Jake, it's up on Netflix now, and it's like in the top whatever on Netflix, and it really is extraordinary and great performance, and based on, I'll let you tell us what it's about, but it's based on a Danish film that you saw, and then you got the rights, and you're a producer on this as well as a star.
Yeah, I saw the original movie out of Sundance in 2018. And I just am not one to want to remake movies that are already wonderful, but there was something about the idea of transposing it from Denmark and bringing it to the States that kind of inspired me, thinking about our systems and how broken they are, thinking about the thriller aspect of it. And also just the way in which they made the movie and the way in which I thought would be very interesting to remake the movie, which was, you know, using this idea of just hearing people on the other end of the line, which meant you could be kind of facing a lot of issues that I think we all are having to face now, which is the things we project on other people when we can't see them, when we only hear them, our own, you know, missteps, our own misguided ideas, you know, like, and what that leads us to. And I just thought it could be very interesting. And then it all got very much fast-tracked when the pandemic hit. You know, everyone was sort of looking for projects that were contained and one character, and it happened to fit the bill. And so we sort of started to move it into production, and then a lot of different things happened to make it a very interesting journey. And we finally found Antoine Fuqua. But yes, this is a movie that, you know, I think I have produced movies and other things up until this point, but this was really from the beginning something that I believed in and took all the way through, and I'm very proud of it for that reason, particularly having made it in a pandemic, you know, in 11 days. We shot it in 11 days. So it was an interesting experience, and one I'm very proud of.
Tell us, without giving too much away, about who Joe is, who we see as a 911 operator, although there's more to that story as well. And he's in a situation where, you know, he lacks power in a way, even though he's a 911 operator, because of just everything that's happening in the world. We're seeing unfolding this massive fire in Los Angeles, which is very realistic. Crimes happening constantly. And there's also something that we kind of learn about over the course of the film that's really weighing down on his shoulders. We even see him that he has asthma, that he's even constantly trying to catch his own breath, even in these moments. And what can you tell us more about Joe?
You know, the movie's an allegory, you know, it's very Greek in that way. You know, it's like, it's this story about a guy who begins the movie very blame heavy, you know, someone who is, his like toxicity is all about blaming. And underneath there's something going on with him, like something that he is obviously running from. I tend to see that with a lot of people who like to blame other people. there's a lot not to face in themselves, or that they don't want to. And so through the course of this evening, getting a phone call from this woman, Emily, who's been abducted and who's in dire need of help, he starts to have to help her by taking responsibility and face the things in himself to allow himself to help her. So it was like, it's like this, it's a play back and forth between the two of them. And he is an example of someone who has been taught and told that he can't ask for help, that the truth is something to be terrified of. And I think that's a really interesting allegory for so many things in today's world, you know? And Joe ends up, I think, learning something that he never expected in a very, very short period of time. As I think we all, in anything, at least in my experience that I've been through, you know, sometimes you start the day off and you never know how the day is going to end, and sometimes it changes your entire life.
You are listening to The Jess Cagle Show with Julia Cunningham, and we are here with Jake Gyllenhaal, who stars in The Guilty, which is just blowing up on Netflix. It's a really taut thriller where Jake plays a cop who, for various reasons, has been relegated to answering 911 calls. They shot it in 11 days. I mean, it all pretty much takes place in this room with Jake, you know, dealing with a situation. The very basic floor of the thriller is a woman calls, asks for help, but all is not what it seems, though he's trying to help her. You guys, Jake, decided to take this to Netflix. And I read an interview with you where you and Antoine Fuqua, the director, and you were talking about how it's a great movie for streaming. It could be on a big screen, but also it's such an intimate movie. You could see it on a television as well. But with Netflix, the audience has the power to turn it off if they get bored. And I just wondered, when you were developing the movie and the script, were you hyper aware of that? Because you guys do a great job in just, it grabs you from the beginning. Things keep happening every minute. You can't turn it off. And I just wondered how much of the fact that it was going to be on Netflix, people were going to be watching it that way, affected the way you constructed the thriller.
I mean, when I saw the original film, which also takes place in one room, what I thought was, you know, this type of storytelling, I find it to be a challenge more and more. I like to give myself challenges, and I also like to think of these different mediums with which we are now sort of, as you said, relegated to, kind of moving through as storytellers. You know, how can we use them to our advantage? I think a thriller, depending on the size and scope of it, is really a kind of great place for a streamer, because so often, you know, there are these numbers you get of like how many people watched it and how many people watched the whole thing and how many people turned it off after how much time. And I think, yes, it's a fun challenge as a storyteller to say, can I keep you the whole time? And particularly, I would think in series, you know, how do we keep them for the next one or the next one? But what I think is, how do you keep them from moment to moment? You have to squeeze all that sort of like that series idea and make the movie in that space. So yes, in storytelling, we had a pretty secure structure. I was very sure of that. And then as we got into post, because we had shot, what we did was we shot 20 pages a day, and there were 20 minute long takes, and we would have all the actors on Zoom, and then they would be cued by our ID. We'd choreograph in the morning, kind of how it would work. And we had actors in Australia and New York and LA and all different time zones. And they would, depending on whether they were calling in or I was calling them, would be cued. And it was really about, that was about getting a rhythm right within that period of time. And as we got into post, it was like the pushing and pulling of how we ease and how we ratchet up that tension was very much of in the last minute of delivering it to Netflix. It was like, how can we keep them there? And minute 40, are you going to turn it off? You know, like, it's an easy click. You know, you didn't walk to the theater. You didn't drive to the theater. You didn't spend 15 minutes looking for parking. Like, you're in your bed. Can we keep you here? And yes, I think it was a huge part of it.
Well, I was literally shook to my core when I had read that Antoine was in a van with monitors, because as Jess said, he had been exposed and directed you from afar. And did that make it okay for you in the sense that you guys had worked together before. You knew what type of director he was. You knew what you needed to do. Was there ever a moment of like, oh my God, we're going to shut down? Or was it like, we got this. You and I know each other. We're fine.
There was a sort of, we got this, but there was also sort of a, you know, I think when you're in movie mode, you know, there's sort of nothing more important, you know, and you'll figure out any possible way you can to make sure that you don't lose the thing. Right. Like, you know, I think you talked, I mean, you guys talk to many more filmmakers than I do, you know, and you know, many more than I do. And I think that, you know, the seriousness with which we all take it is absurd, but there's no way we could have gotten it done without that seriousness. So, you know, when we hit that moment, it was like, oh my God, we're probably going to shut down. I mean, there was an hour there where no one knew what to do. And then all of a sudden, like anything you're trying to get done, we thought, let's find solutions. And we just started trying to figure out solutions. In terms of the creative relationship, I had no doubt. I don't have any doubt with Antoine, and I hope that he would say the same about me. Whether he's 100 miles away or right next to me, like, he knows I'll do anything for him and go anywhere for him. And he knows how to prepare a set for me. You know, I remember, you know, he knows how to tell his crew about a scene, and we've been through a lot already and we are friends. So the first thing that happened was a call to Antoine when I got that news. And the first thing he said was, we don't stop. So I was like, okay, we don't stop. He's like, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm like, I know, but maybe tomorrow you won't be. He's like, I'll be fine. You know? And we just step by step, you know, step by step. And I mean, I love him. So, I mean, obviously not as much as Jamie Lee Curtis, but I love him.
Did you ever make him sourdough bread?
He's not a real carbs guy. Have you ever seen that guy? He's like ripped.
So he's shredded. Yeah, he's shredded.
So yeah.
He doesn't eat bread.
How much of that sourdough bread do you eat, Jack? I'm going to guess, not that much.
You just smell it.
I eat a lot of that. I have, like, there are so many, it's not great for my body, not just in terms of, like, being in shape. It's just not good for my digestive system, but I still eat it, and to the dismay of many people around me. So, yeah.
This
like, and we'll end that there.
Like, goodbye forever on that note.
Okay. I just want some sourdough bread. I'm going to cut this off and go.
Yes, don't. I don't think I won't make you some.
Please do. I first of all, I would, if you made me sourdough bread, I would just save it forever until it was super moldy.
Ooh, let's get into that.
I'm just going to show it to people. This movie was announced a while ago, Francis and the Godfather, which I guess is in pre-production, and you're playing Robert Evans. It's about the making of the Godfather, Barry Levinson. Super excited about this movie. What's happening with it?
At the moment, it's sort of in that development space. It's, nothing is active on it at this moment, but it's, you know, yeah, Mr. Levinson and, you know, obviously a really wonderful cast and an incredible sort of story and an amazing character. But at the moment, it's sort of in that space. Oh my gosh. It's pretty daunting to think about figuring him out on the screen.
Jake Gyllenhaal, the movie is The Guilty. It's up on Netflix and it's just great. Thank you for being here, Jake.
This has been the Jess Cagle Podcast with Julia Cunningham, a SiriusXM production. Hear new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.